Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Big night tonight.
Man.
Brewers-Dodgers game three. You've got a Packer game, Monday Night Football. I don't know if you want to call it a must win, but how about a can't lose? I like to throw that around. Tim Allen in for Chuck, who is on his way to Los Angeles. I'm Bart Winkler. We're joined on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline by Michael Cohen to talk about the aforementioned Packer game. Michael, we'll start with the injuries here. Eight guys listed as questionable on the injury report. Rodgers looks like he's a full go, which isn't a surprise. But of these injuries, the offensive line, maybe Geronimo Allison, are there guys on that report that are questionable that we can point to they are more likely than not playing tonight?
I actually don't have the list in front of me. Can you read off some of the names? And I can.
We've got Alexander on the injury report.
Okay, I would expect that he's probably going to be available this week.
We've got Geronimo.
That's a questionable one. Him and Cobb, I know Cobb's another one on there. You can make an argument that having them sit out tonight against a weaker 49ers team would be more beneficial for them with the bye coming up, but I'm not really sure. That's going to be a wait and see.
We've got Breshad Breeland, who we talked about a lot on Friday.
Yeah, I think I saw him in practice last week a couple times. He seemed to be moving well and moving fine, so I would think that this is an opportunity for him to make his debut.
Jermaine Whitehead.
That one, I think he'll probably be out there as well. He seemed to be, you know, pretty loose in practice, and when you have a back injury, generally, you can kind of tell right away with how a guy is moving whether or not it's bothering him, and I didn't get the sense it was too big of an issue in practice.
And then I'll ask you about the tackles, because Jason Spriggs on there, and so is Brian Bulaga. Do we expect either of those guys to play? And then tell us what you can about Byron Bell, because based on what McCarthy was saying over the weekend, it seems like he might be your starter now on that offensive line too.
Yeah, so I think Bulaga came out and said on Saturday during what would have, you know, equated to their Friday, you know, session during a normal week, that he feels like the knee issue wasn't anything significant and should be fine for this week. And I think McCarthy sort of reiterated that as well. So I do think Brian Bulaga starts the game. I'm not sure about Jason Spriggs. That was a weird one. It happened as the media was walking out of practice, and nobody really saw it except I think one TV reporter happened to look back at the moment that it happened and saw Spriggs kind of like on the ground and the training staff looking at him while he was on all fours. So that sort of seemed like a fluky, weird thing, and I would guess that maybe they would hold him out. And then when it comes to Byron Bell, you know, it certainly appears, as you mentioned, that he's sort of supplanted Justin McCray in the starting lineup. And I think ultimately they're just looking for somebody that has a little bit more consistency there. You know, I think McCray is definitely a mauler in the run game at times and, you know, can be a really physical and aggressive player. He is more physical and more aggressive than Byron Bell. But I just think that with a guy who has played as much football as Bell has, you know, he's got something like 76 or 77 career starts. And Justin McCray has, you know what, maybe a dozen, maybe 15 at most. And so I think that, you know, when you just have more experience there, it does make a difference to coaches. And so even though Bell is not as violent or as, you know, dominant at times that as McCray is, I think overall, if you give each guy 100 snaps, there's more consistency and more steadiness to what Bell brings. And so I think that's what the coaches are looking for.
Michael, Tim here. Other side of the football, Matt Breida for the Niners. I know there was some question whether or not he's going to play. What kind of element does he bring to the team? I know Morris is back there, so he'll probably get a heavy workload. But that change of pace guy that produces when he's healthy, what does that mean for the Packers defense if indeed Breida plays and is healthy?
Well, if Breida can play, he is the type of guy that is capable of being a potential home run threat. You know, if you watch their last game, you know, over the weekend, the game that they, you know, turned the ball over five times and just completely, made a mess of what was going on, as Kyle Shanahan said in a conference call earlier this week. You know, it was Breida that early on, before he got hurt, was really starting to get going, ripping off yards and chunks of 5 and 8 and 9 and 11. And so he's an explosive guy. He hits the hole with the kind of speed that Aaron Jones hits the hole. Now, I'm not comparing those two players in terms of overall ability. I'm just saying that if you were trying to compare him to a Packers running back, he compares most closely with Jones, just because of the way he hits the line of scrimmage at what seems like 1,000 miles an hour. Alfred Morris is more of a Jamal Williams type of guy. He can pound between the tackles. He might break off one of a bigger run, maybe for like a dozen or 14, but he's not going to break one for 70 because he just doesn't have that speed. So if they have Breida, it adds a significantly different weapon to their offense, and it also adds some change of pace elements. You know, if you have Jamal Williams running at you 40 times a game, or you have Jamal Williams running at you a few times a game and Aaron Jones running a few times a game, it's a totally different dynamic. So if the 49ers have Breida, then they can sort of add that element to their own offense.
I think I have the most updated stat on this as we talk with Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold Insider, Packers tonight. We'll have the Green and Gold postgame show for you after that one as well. They've been outscored 13-42 in the first quarter this season. This is a team that has weapons, the Packers do, but they're getting off to some slow starts. Are there signs, or is there anything the Packers can do to rectify that? I would think that, you know, not waiting for the third series to bring in Aaron Jones would be one of those things, but what have the Packers been working on maybe that you've seen, or what should they do to not start so slowly tonight?
Well, I definitely think introducing Aaron Jones earlier in the game could be a way of accomplishing that. If he comes in on the first series and plays the way that Aaron Jones typically plays, you know, ripping off some stolen runs and moving to chains and all that stuff, it's hard to it's hard to not envision the offense clicking better in that situation. So I think that when you look at what they can try and do aside from that, you know, maybe try and create some more rhythm throws for Rodgers, maybe script some shorter, quicker passes to get the ball out of his hands quickly and move the chains, maybe focus on saving some of the deeper shots, the play actions, the bootlegs, save that kind of stuff maybe for later in the quarter or into the second quarter. But, you know, it's hard to say. You know, McCarthy is going to do what McCarthy does in terms of calling plays, but then how much Aaron Rodgers changes it at the line of scrimmage, or what he decides to deviate from the plan, you know, those are all things that we never really know the answer to, because, of course, Rodgers has the full playbook at his disposal up at the line of scrimmage. So it's really hard to pinpoint exactly why things have started slowly, because it's impossible to say, unless you're McCarthy or Rodgers, how much is changing from the time that they're in the huddle to the time that the play is actually ran.
Michael, talk to us about Jimmy Graham and whether or not that is a situation where it's a scheme thing, it's a play calling thing, it's an underachieving for Jimmy Graham, it's a defensive thing where they're kind of focused on, with the injuries to the receiving core, maybe the defenses have been a little more focused on Jimmy Graham. Is it the drops? What's going on with Jimmy Graham?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think, first of all, he's not the same player that the Packers thought they were signing when it comes to athleticism and explosiveness and all that stuff. It's clear at this point that he can't run the way that he used to, and he does not appear to have the explosive leaping ability that he once did earlier in his career. So I think that is certainly part of it. I think defenses are absolutely focusing on him. He's getting chipped and bumped off the line of scrimmage on a regular basis by defensive ends, linebackers, whoever. Kind of the same plan that you saw anybody who watched the Chiefs and Patriots last night. You know, how many times did Travis Kelce get bumped off the line of scrimmage by Trey Flowers or Dante Hightower or whoever was, you know, up near the line, just to reroute him, disrupt the timing, and make sure that Patrick Mahomes had to look in other places because Kelce couldn't get to his landmark in the time that he's supposed to get there. And I think that's partially what we're seeing with Jimmy Graham. But I also think that there's just been some missed throws too by Rodgers. I mean, the play on the fade pass against Detroit in the front left corner of the end zone, not only was it a clumsy looking jump by Graham, but it was also a very poor throw by Rodgers. There was a bootleg crossing pattern that Jimmy Graham was wide open. I mean, completely uncovered. The Lions turned him loose on the first possession last week, and Rodgers threw it way too high and over his head. If Graham catches that, he probably picks up maybe 10 yards or so on the initial catch and then rumbles for another 12 or 15. So there have definitely been a myriad number of factors playing into Graham's sort of lackluster production right now. But I think the overarching biggest theme is that his explosiveness is probably not quite what the Packers were hoping for.
Despite all the signs that should tell you otherwise, I do think the Packers have a pretty good night tonight. I think they cover the 9-10 point spread that's been put out there. How do you see this one going down tonight, Michael?
Yeah, I agree. I think the Packers should win this game fairly comfortably. I think it's a chance for their offense to put up 30 points or so, and I think that defensively, it's another game where against a young quarterback, you know, Beathard being young in the league and also a backup, Mike Pettine's defense confuses those types of players, young players, inexperienced players, players who haven't seen a lot of shifting in coverage and disguise and all those types of things. So I think this is, again, potentially going to be similar to the Buffalo game, not in a shutout and not with Josh Allen looking as terrible as he did, or Beathard looking as terrible as Josh Allen, I should say. But I do think this could be a comfortable win for the Packers. I would pick them something like 30-17.
Find his work at The Athletic, Michael_Cohen13. We'll talk later in the week, Michael. Thanks as always.
All right, see you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.